Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I'll
Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise, give you all honor and glory. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, that we have tonight to be in your presence, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for your hand being upon us, Lord God. Minister to us tonight, Lord, as we are open to receive tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your presence, Lord God, that you are here. You're very present help in a time of trouble. Lord, we thank you and we magnify you. We worship you in spirit and truth, and we thank you for who you are, for even for all that you're doing in our lives. So God, we thank you that without you we are nothing, but with you we are all things. We can do all things, and we thank you, Lord God, for your dwelling, your indwelling presence, Lord God, that even as it upon us, is in us, Lord, that flows through us. In Jesus' name, we thank you as we allow you to have free course tonight. Minister to our hearts, minister to even our lives. As we speak life, Lord God, we receive life in Jesus' name. Lord God, thank you for change, Lord God. Thank you for eradicating every attempt of the enemy, every working, every plan, every mindset, Lord God, every heart set. We tear it down, we cast down, we throw it out. In Jesus' name, we thank you, we raise up, we magnify you, and we exalt you in due season, this time, this hour, this very minute, this very second. You are worthy. You are so worthy of all glory, all the honor, and all the praise. As we lift you up on high, you say in your word, if I be lifted from above the earth, I shall draw all men unto me. And we lift you up tonight, Lord. We magnify you. We exalt your name forever. And we're thanking you in advance for what you're about to do. We're looking forward to what you're about to accomplish, what you're about to bring forth, about to manifest right now. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the flowing, the rivers of living water that's flowing out of our bellies tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for the living water, the fresh water. We thank you for a refreshing that comes from the Lord, and we thank you for your renewal of our strength, Lord God. Renew our youth as the eagles, Lord God. Do a new thing right now, Lord God, and we shall know it. So, Lord God, we thank you tonight. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory, Lord God, for what you're about to do, Lord God. Thank you in advance for shine, for change, for signs and wonders following your word. You said your word to perform, and we thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you for the word tonight. As your word comes forth, as your word goes in, as your word come out, Lord God, we thank you for changing, rearranging, Lord God, moving in the direction that you would have us to be, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God. So we thank you as we surrender ourselves to you, Lord God. We give you the freedom. Give you the preeminence. We give you the free course, Lord God. Have your way, Lord God. Do what you desire to do. Do what you designed us to do, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, use us, Lord God, the way you desire to, Lord, that our life of living will not be in vain, but we should give you all that you desire of us, Lord God. As we give our lives to you tonight, Lord God, as we come to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, minister us, minister to us, Lord God. Meet us right here, right now. So, Lord, we thank you for your presence right now. Do what you desire to do. Hallelujah. Touch every heart, Lord God, that's listening. Minister to every home that is connected tonight. Let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Shift the atmosphere. We thank you for moving the atmosphere to the places you want, Lord God. Do it, Lord. Hallelujah. We bind up every demonic force, every diabolical spirit, every demonic presence. In Jesus' name, we bind it up now. In the name of Jesus, we loose the presence of God. We loose the peace of God. That surpasses all understanding. We bind every weary spirit. We bind every wandering mind. We bring that into subjection now. In Jesus' name, we loose, Lord God, a concentration of freedom to listen and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So, Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity we have tonight. Lord, have your way. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. Jesus, increase that I decrease now. Jesus, increase that I decrease now. Jesus, increase that I decrease now. Now, Lord, you know what everyone needs on this line. You know where they are. Holy Spirit, navigate. Lead this call. Lead this line to minister to every heart, every household. Find them. Lord, you're more accurate than any GPS system that we can have on this earth. You, Holy Spirit, you are the one that's navigating this call. Lead us anywhere you have us to go. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the Eagles in Flight Hour. I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree, and we thank God for each and every one tonight, and we give God praise and honor and glory for his presence tonight. Welcome from Eagles Wings International Ministries as well, and we also thank God for each and every one that's on the line. Thank God for Prophet Dupree and everyone that's listening. Amen. And EMG Entertainment as well, and we thank God for all the participants, our listeners, receivers, hearers, God seekers, God chasers, amen, all the men and women of God who want God, thank you, and we welcome you here tonight. He is here. So we thank God for his presence, what we're about to speak on tonight. All right, amen. We thank God for all the preliminaries and everything's been done and said, and we're about to go forth, amen. So we're going to ask you to turn with us in your Bible. As we get ready to get into his word, let's go to Matthew 11. We're going to go to Matthew 11. Then start with Matthew 11. Then we're going to go back to Colossians chapter 1. Well, I take that back. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And then we'll go to Philippians 4:5. Yeah, a trifecta. We start off with three tonight. Amen. So we're going to let God have his way. Glory to God. So let's go to the first one. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Let's go to verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in law prophesied until John. I want to jump right into that, but I'm going to move on to the next one. The next scripture we're going to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in all readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. The last one, Philippians 4. Starting at verse 5. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned, received, and heard, and seen in me, do. And the peace of God, the God of peace, shall be with you. Amen. All right. So tonight we're talking about spiritual warfare part 2. Amen. we dealt with, we talked about a good bit of things last week when it came down to understanding the different tactics of warfare, as far as different things that happen in your life, activity, to let you know this is warfare, to give you a heads up on that. And so we're going to go in that same vein. We're going to go a little bit deeper. And when we, because remembering, too, the kingdom of God, I think we mentioned last week, but the kingdom of God is in you. Okay, that's Luke 17:20, verse 21. So it won't be like the day that you want to look over there, but Lord, the kingdom of God is in you. Amen. So we are the kingdom carriers. We're carrying God's kingdom inside of us. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven through us. We are the one that this, instead of Jesus doing everything with the world at all once, well, he's doing it through us. We are here to release the kingdom into this earth, bring forth. In Romans chapter 8, it tells what the nature itself is crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God. Man, you know, when we look at that, just even in that verse where it talks about the nature. Let me go back. Let me go to that one. Romans chapter 8. We will come back to those right there, but amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to see here. Okay, let's go to verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Let me slide on that. Well, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption, which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, then joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, and that we also glorify him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. So remember this. You know, when we talk about the sons of God, we're talking about men and women of God who are walking in a place of maturity that we're walking in. Verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As we're walking closer to the Lord and really walking in a greater place of obedience, Obedience is everything. Okay, just before I go any further, anyone who desire to call or have a question, comment, or prayer request, the number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Press 1 to speak. So, as we see here, the kingdom of heaven is of the body taken by force. Remember, we have to understand is in this place of maturity that we're walking in, there will be some things that we're going to do as we walk closer with God. We're going to see some things happen. We are going to be in a greater place with God, in a place that where God can use us more effectively. The difference between, for example, what's the difference for a 10-year-old soldier with a gun, when you know, going on the battlefield with a soldier who's 20-something years old and who's had his experience, the training, or whatever the case may be? Because they're more developed, and the ones that's 20-year-old, they're typically more developed and have gone through training, properly equipped to handle the weaponry that he's given. The 10-year-old had lack experience, lack understanding. They may just be learning some just you know, they may be trying to teach them something, but at the same time, the capacity for their understanding at that time may not quite be as the one that's 20-year-old. So when we look at the development, the age, those things that bridge the gap can make a world of a difference as a soldier is more groomed and walking with the Lord and being prepared. And when his experience with the Lord has been greater. And so there's some things that he understands about the Lord that the one that's younger may not. And so this is where the Bible talks about the older will teach the young. And, you know, the older has the wisdom, you know. And but it's funny, sometimes these days, some of the older ones didn't even have the experience that some young ones may have, may not. Just rare cases, but normally because of their experience, they may not have had the learning or the teaching that the younger ones may have had. But these ones have a greater experience in a relationship with God that they've learned from walking with God. There's some things that some things are not taught, but some things are caught. So revelations are caught rather than being taught, because some things you necessarily can't teach a person, but they find us out by walking with the Lord. These are some genuine things that makes the difference. When we begin to walk with the Lord, we find on our journey there's some things that we understand about God that we never did understand before, that may not have been taught or someone teach you that, but you found that out through relationship. Glory to God. And even with spiritual warfare, your relationship with God is such an asset in your walk with God. Thank you, Jesus. Your relationship with God is such an asset to your walk with God, because as you're walking with the Lord, these are the times that we have to, you know, really. You may not get to a Bible throughout the day, or, you know, when you're at work, you may not have, you know, might can't really look at the Bible, read the Bible every time. You may think about it or your job, depends what kind of job you work, or sometimes you may, you know, you just may not can, it's not convenient to do, or you may can't do it, whichever the case may be. But there's times to where, through your relationship with God, that things are revealed through his heart, by his heart to you, because he's in you and you commune with him. This is why our communion with God is so important, beyond just the church service, y'all. We have to go beyond that. But we can be in service on 7 days a week, but if we don't spend that personal time with God, that one-on-one time, that's the bread and butter that makes coming together as service so rich. Glory to God. See, when we spend that personal time with God, that personal time with God is the richness of his essence. Man, my God, I feel it. Boy, I tell you what, this word is so good. Because when you think about it, that personal time with God was the richness of his presence. See, okay, for instance, let me slow down for a second. Glory to God. As we spend the time with God, In his presence, when you close the closet door and you go in. See, I love that, because I'm going in. See, when I go in, it's almost like do not disturb God's presence in motion. You know, look, don't bother me. Never, let me make a beeline straight to the closet. So when I'm in his presence in the closet, when I go in the closet, I'm meeting him there. He knows what I'm looking for when I come there. I'm looking for him. He's looking for me. The awesome thing about a relationship with God is this. As you begin to start spending time with God, not only do you look forward to spending time with him, he looks forward to spending time with you. And see, and this is the thing. That's why you got to get past, I got to pray. I know I got to pray once a week. I got to pray. No. Get excited. Let me tell y'all something. How many of y'all have someone in your life that y'all are excited about? I mean, look here, y'all. Okay, let's go back to that puppy love. Somebody told you, usually when you hear a little Johnny at the street maybe liking you, somebody say, "Girl, you know Johnny like you. He asked about you all day. He did what he say. Girl, he talked about your hair. Girl, I'm just like, you know. He's still talking about how much he liked the curls in your hair and the little thing. You know. You want to hear that. See, you want to hear what he say about you. Well, what about the Lord? The Lord wants you to hear what he said, what he wants to say about you, too. He wants you to, matter of fact, he wants to tell you. He ain't need no messenger. He can send a messenger, but he really wants to tell you himself by you coming to see what he about to say. See, the thing is about, this is the thing, that awesome thing that sets everyone, this is what sets every believer apart, their relationship with God. See, I could have a relationship with God that's different from yours, you have one different from mine. You know, in the sense of what I'm saying is the closeness, everyone has the opportunity to have a relationship with God. But everyone doesn't take the opportunity and use it to their advantage. Everyone doesn't apply that relationship or apply themselves to that relationship. Okay, that's a better way to put it. Everyone does not apply themselves to their relationship the same way another person would. See, we all have the opportunity, but how many of us take it?
Hello, he just got dropped. He's going to call back in a second.
Glory to God. Glory to God. We must be hitting the vein because he's trying to kick me off the line. So praise God. We're going to go deeper. Praise God. So when it comes down to it, because of this relationship with God, because we have an opportunity to have a close... Look, Enoch left this earth saying his testimony was that he pleased God, and he didn't even have to see death. Why? Because he was that close with God, he basically walked off this earth and didn't even have to see death. See, when you look at it, even Elijah didn't have to see death. So there's no limit to say how far, how close you can get with God. It's really up to you. How bad do you want him? See, so when we're talking about this his relationship, just, you know, going in his closet, going in the closet, spend time with God, what he wants to do is, you know, when we spend time in his presence, what happens is it's like a fragrance. The fragrance of his presence rests on you. So it's like he smeared himself on you. When something is anointed, that means it's been smeared on, rubbed on. So as you are spending time in his presence, he is, matter of fact, he's spending time in your presence at the same time, and he's smearing himself on you. And so you can say, man, that person's anointed. Why? Because they spent time with God. That means God's essence is being rubbed on, smeared on, dropped on, look, just overtaking you in his presence. And now, afterward, when you come out of the closet, guess what? The closet don't come off you. My God, hallelujah. So glory to God. So as we begin to get excited about spending time with God, this causes all hell to break loose, and not only cause hell to break loose, but cause hell to go into uproar, because now you've tasted and see that the Lord is good, and now you have an excitement that he's afraid of, because this is the whole point here. The enemy really wants to keep you from getting to know God. He wants to keep you from knowing God. He wants to keep you from unlocking that treasure chest of that relationship with God that's inside of you, that will take you from unlimited and beyond. See, there's no limit in God. There's no telling how far you can go in your relationship with God. That's why this is a personal relationship. How you have the opportunity to go higher or just drop off, whichever way, is really up to you. And that's why the enemy is afraid. He is more afraid of you than you are him. When you think about it, this is why the enemy uses fear tactics to cause you to shut down and be shut up. He try to do, when you do it, you notice this? The closer you get to God, more crazy stuff happen, all kind of stuff try to come and rock your world. Why? Because the enemy wants you to change your mind about getting closer to God. And so this is where warfare really kicks up. The closer you get with God, the more you begin to know him, the more you get to experience him, the more warfare. See, I like to say this in teachings and remind people, you want to know where you stand with God, check your warfare. If you ain't going through nothing, ain't nothing bothering you in a little while, look at Houston, we have a problem. We need to check and see where you stand. We need to make sure you are you still even saved? Because when you are a friend, listen. When you are a friend of God, you are not. You are the enemy. You are officially the enemy of the friend of the. You are officially the enemy to the enemy. When you are a friend of God, you are officially an enemy to the enemy. Because he hates everything, everyone that looks and walks like God. So he ought to be hating you, not loving on you. So now if you, if some reason you and Satan become best buddies, now something ain't right with that picture. So you got to understand and know, you got to check your warfare. If ain't nothing happened in your life, so that's why those every time you look around, you're going through something, praise God. Because that lets you know that the enemy's, there's a reason why you're going through what you're going through. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some people who ain't doing some stuff right now, lying. There's a difference between the two. Yeah, because when, see, when you go through in the with God, when you go through walking the right standard with God, you're going to be tried, tested, but you will always prevail. If you trust Him, you lead. He will lead you through temptation. He will lead you though you walk. There we go. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He will lead you through. You will fear no evil. Why? Because He's with you. When you know you're in right stand with God, there's no reason. When you are in right stand with God, there's no reason to fear the enemy. Come on now, talk to me, somebody. See, when you are in right stand with God, there's no need for me to fear anything, anyone that looks like the enemy who try to come at me as the enemy. Because I know I'm protected. I know He's with me. No matter what you try, it will fail. It will fail. It's destined to fail because God is with me. I stand. I love the way Elijah said, I'll say to, he said, to Jesus, come back. He said, Elijah said, the Lord of hosts in whose presence that I stand. I'm not standing on my own two feet. I'm not standing in my own presence. I'm standing in the presence of the Lord because He is with me. And you got to know, right? You have to know no matter what the enemy tries, it would not prevail against you. You got to know that. You got to set it in your heart that no matter what the enemy tries, the Lord is with me and we will always prevail. Glory to God. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead on back here. So remember, for those who live by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we're looking at sonship in the sense of going to a greater place of maturity. There's more sonship teaching that, you know, that has to go along with that as well. But just kind of dipping in is a place of a greater place of maturity to where Jesus walked as the Son of God. Okay, so that lets you know when you're walking as the Son of God, as a son of God, that means a place of maturity. Jesus walked with the full measure of the Spirit. Jesus walked unlimited to. He walked unlimited to the world. You know, so when we look at the difference, even though He was in the flesh, Jesus still had the choice. He still had a choice. He was still tried in a lot of different areas. But His decision was made up. But He realized as the Son of God, He was going to walk this thing out in authority. He was going to walk it out. His purpose of walking out the kingdom is demonstrating the power of the kingdom. See, we have to understand that we have the same. So Jesus dwelt in the flesh. And He came into the flesh, and He dwelt among us once again. Because when we invite Him into our life, now we are walking Him. We are letting Him walk through the earth again. Through us. This is why we don't need to have you trying to do your will and He trying to do His will. It's a struggle there because when we give our life to Him, we need to really allow Him to live through us. See, when we struggle is because we want to let Jesus have His moment for a little while, but then we want to take over the wheel. Jesus, I'll take the wheel back. But then when the tough times come, oh, Jesus, take the wheel. But when you figure out any problem, oh, I got that, Jesus. Let me get that back. See, we need to make up our mind who we're going to let drive, either you or Jesus. If you're going to let Him drive, then move out the way. Get in the back seat and let Him drive. See, we have to choose who we're going to let drive us. Are we going to let Him drive us? Or are we going to fool around with the devil and let the enemy persuade us to take back the wheel? So we have to choose the right way. Glory to God. We don't want to play into His hand, the enemy's hand. So as we're walking, amen, let's go back to Matthew. Okay, we see with Matthew, until John the Baptist said, now the kingdom of heaven shall be violent, and the violent take it by force. Now, when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, remember, the kingdom of heaven, when we talk about the government, the rule of God. And then when we talk about really walking out this kingdom on the earth, we have the kingdom of God inside, the presence of God, the rule, operation of God, and we begin to demonstrate that power on this earth by walking out the authority that He has given to us. Demonic forces, they know who you are. And when you walk in, if you are walking as a believer, as a son or a believer, to where you understand who you are in God, you understand your identity. There's not an identity crisis going on. You understand the power that's in you. You know, we have to. That's why it's very important for us to stay in alignment with God. We have to make sure that we stay walking upright before Him. This is the core of the power. When we walk upright before God, now all of the enemy want to do, he cannot do, because we understand who we are in Him, and there's some things that we're going to shut down before we even start up. This is where you begin to pray, and the Lord begin to reveal things to you, and He'll begin to say this, say that, and before you know, you're dismantling things of the enemy that he want to start, or he want to throw at you before it even gets to you. See, this is where the Holy Spirit becomes so precious to us, because as we begin to pray, even in that same chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, where he talks about the Spirit himself making intercession for us. See, he sees what we can't see. He does what we can't do. He thinks how we can't even think. So as he begins to intercede on our behalf, he begins to walk this thing. Now as we allow him to use our body and minister, to say, to do, to speak with the authority, let the kingship, he made us kings and priests, my God. And Revelation says that he has made us priests. Because of he's made us kings and priests, that means there's a king, there's a kingly anointing, as well as a priestly anointing on our lives. So we have the authority to command as a king, and also kings also fight too. So we have the authority to cast down, throw down, go into war, battle, as well as to the priestly anointing, where we have the ability to operate in the temple, far as through prayer and the things pertaining to the house of God. So we have the opportunity to operate in the presence of God as well. So when we think about how God has equipped us, He's equipped us for victory. There's no reason why you cannot walk in victory in God. If you apply yourself to the Word of God, you allow His Word to come alive in you, He has equipped you to win. So everyone decided to call in the number 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, press 1 to get in the cue box. Amen. So he says, so from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. So we have the authoritative right to walk in the power of God as a child of God, a believer. So we have to make sure that we're exercising our authority. We cannot be afraid to slap the devil. We cannot be afraid to go upside his head. We cannot be afraid to shut him up and cast some things down. We cannot be afraid to go start a fight if we need to. Amen. So we have to remember, I know some of y'all looking at what in the world, but amen. We have to be ready for battle at all times. See, what I'm saying is too, we're not always supposed to be in defense mode, y'all. Come on now. You mean tell me we're always gonna let the enemy take the first punch? I'll wait. But I'm saying, see, we have to understand that we have the ability to also initiate some battles. And the reason why I say that too, because sometimes we need to initiate some things. We need to bombard hell before they even wake up in the morning. 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, we going in. Why? We need to be able to go in there and give them a real wake up call. And sometimes the fear, the enemy will do that. You know, sometimes the enemy will. We've seen it on times before. You matter of fact, some of the greatest battles have been when people have been caught off guard. And basically wiped out. There's different battles that the United States have been involved in to where the enemy was totally caught off guard. And when they began to attack, it was already over. Be- because their guards been dropped. They didn't see it coming before it happened. And next, you know, the advantage was given to whoever started the war. They were the one who finished them off. See, some battles, we will find out, you know, some battles or things, some things we face and go through, if we initiate some things. And we need to stop playing from stop operating from this place of defense all the time. That's why in sports, any kind of game, there's an offense and there's a defense. Man, okay, let me take this a little side road here. I remember one time I was doing a little study about prayer, and the Lord began to give me some revelation. He said, there are some people that's on offense, and there are some people that's on defense. I said, okay, Lord, talk to me. Well, he was showing me, he said, you know, there are some people who are good initiators. They can start a prayer. They know how to start. They can lead you into prayer. They can know how to, you know, take you to a certain point. But then there are some people who specialize in finishing. Some people can finish the prayer off even better than someone started. Someone can finish it off on high. Then, too, so you have some people who are initiators, some who can start and some can finish. So in the category of initiators, you have people who are finishers and some are starters. Some finish up strong coming off. Now, then on the other side, that you have some people that's on the defensive side. There's some people who go bad, who fights better after a battle's already started. After the enemy's throwing his best punch, that's when they come on strong. You got some people who start off after initial battle strong. And then you have some people who are finishers, who know how to finish the battle off strong on the defensive side. So it was like, matter of fact, I remember about 2 or 3 years ago, as an example, I know there was a Super Bowl with the Patriots. Now, this past Super Bowl, I think it was a couple Super Bowls ago, I think it was when the Patriots was there, and the Seattle Seahawks played the Patriots. And what happened was the last drive, the Seattle Seahawks had the ball. They were going down to the end zone. I mean, they were like 2 yards. I mean, they could just fall over the end zone how close they was. Well, what happened was the defense of New England Patriots was back against the wall. And basically, Seattle pretty much had this game. And what happened was, instead of, they should just probably run the ball something simple and just kind of push the power forward. Well, instead, they wanted to try and throw the ball. And when they did it, the guy on defense snatched the ball and took the ball, and they got, you know, this game was pretty much over because they took the ball back, and that stopped them from scoring. Now, the reason why I say that is, too, because the defense bent. They may have bent, but they didn't break. And sometimes in this thing, just because of spiritual warfare, there will be times to where it just seems like you cannot get a hand on the enemy. You simply, no matter how you try to do it, he always had an advantage. For some reason, you find yourself against the wall. Everything you try to do is like you're late, you couldn't do it. Hold on, because even though you're bending, but you haven't broke. And sometimes so settle yourself. And begin to seek the Lord. Now, Lord, what is it that I'm not seeing? What am I doing that's not causing me to have the victory? See, one of the heart of any war, any battle, strategical warfare, we have to have strategy even in the smallest battles to the greatest. And if, when it comes down to even this battle that we fight daily, if we don't see, take some time out to examine our enemy, where are they, and what is it that they have that we don't, to where we're at a disadvantage or things aren't working the way it needs to, what is it I'm doing wrong? What is it that we're not seeing? You cannot be afraid to go back to the drawing board, say, Lord, what is it that I'm not seeing? How is it that the enemy has his advantage? And sometimes, y'all, this is what the enemy like to do for some of us. The enemy strategically gets into our head. Let's go a little further. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go there again. Verse 3. Okay. let's go with verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So in other words, even though we're in the flesh, our answer to warfare is not going to be in our flesh, okay? We're not going to fight hand-to-hand combat, you know, with the flesh. That's not what we have to deal with this. Let's say, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. They're not of the flesh. They're not of the natural state. But mighty is not worldly. It says, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, it's mighty through God. So this lets me know we have to use God's methods of operation. It's not going to be the way you may think. Okay, for instance, your boss coming back on the trip. Matter of fact, your boss come back from the trip. And he's saying all a bunch of stuff. He's saying a bunch of stuff out of his mouth and this and that, blah, 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 running. I mean, just attitude from the first thing in the morning. Okay, it's not your boss. There's, you know, you got to understand the face behind the face. The enemy will try to do anything to get under your skin and use anyone at any time. So because he would do that, you got to remember that the enemy is going to come at you all kinds of ways. But it's up to you to let him go so far. See, you can begin to fight the flesh, or you can begin to see the operation in the spirit. Okay, so here he says, for the weapons of warfare are carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, he's about the pulling down of strongholds. That means there's some things that need to be torn down that we're letting stand up. Let me read these first two verses again in the NLT version. It says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. It's not an Afghanistan or us fighting against people overseas. It's not a war like that. No. It's not a natural battle. Okay, he goes on to say, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. Oh, come on. Let me look at that again. He says, we use God's mighty weapons. That means God has some mighty weapons he's made available to us. We have equipment that we can use through God. Okay? Equipment that we use. Okay? He goes on to say, not worldly weapons. To knock down the strongholds. To knock down the strongholds. We have the ability to knock down some things that the enemy has put up. We have the right and the ability to cast those things down, tear it down. He says, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. Sometimes the enemy will try to play with our mind to try and think, to get in. If he can get in our head, he will try to control you by playing chess. He goes on to say, and to destroy false arguments. My God. Okay. Let me make sure I take the, this is like surgery right now, because it's so delicate, because there's some key things. If we don't catch it, the enemy can begin to play us like a flute and we don't even know what's going on. Okay, what's going on? He says, just to try that verse again. He said, we use God's mighty weapons. He used God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. So in other words, when we talk about human reasoning, that's the part that comes from our soul. Follow me. You are a spirit. You possess a soul, and you live in a body. Now, we're talking about human reasoning, we're talking about the soulish realm. We have to be careful when it comes to spiritual battles that we don't get caught up in the spiritual realm. Don't try to fight a spiritual battle by your soul or by your soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's the worst way to try to fight a spiritual fight. You will lose every time. Because, see, we are out of alignment. When we start to fight, when we begin to fight a spiritual battle by the soul, we are now officially out of alignment. and we find ourselves crying for things that we don't need to be crying for, fussing at things we don't need to be fussing for, fussing about. We want to fight people that we don't need to be fighting. We find ourselves all off. We just need to find a corner to sit down and be quiet. You know, really. That's really because you're a mess at that point. See, when you emotions out of control is a mess. It is. Your mind out of control is a mess. Your will, you just a bat out of hate. You're just trying to knock everything. You're trying to do everything the wrong way. So we talk about knocking down strongholds, you know, of human reasoning. We have to approach situations according to what it is. We need to be able to see, why is it around this time every day that your kids act up? Why is it at that same time that when you begin to think about getting into the Word of God, you say, I'm going to get ready to go pray, all of a sudden the kids start doing something to where it pulls you away and you can't get to that private time that you need to? Why is it that just when you begin to find yourself ready to go to a service or a revival or something like that, all of a sudden some family member got a crisis that you got to go take care of every single time? You know, it begins to make you wonder, why do certain things happen? But the enemy will set some things up sometimes to get you off out of the zone. He'll try to get you off track, try to get you out of the zone. And because he knows, first of all, that you're about to encounter something in God's presence. He knows that you're about to be imparted into a word that's going to come forth and give you some enlightenment about where you are. He knows you're about to have an encounter with God. So because he knows this, he's going to try to find every which way to get you off course, to get you out of that place, also to try to get you off track. So and sometimes he'll try to use things that's going to cause you to reason. Oh, I would go, but, you know, man, you know, little Johnny's a little sick, but then you have someone else to take care of him. But instead, you say, well, I better just go ahead and stick around. I better do it myself. But see, the thing is about it is there was something that was going to be revealed to you, or there was something God was going to do that night that could have actually helped you and little Johnny. See, we have to understand that there's times where you need your wisdom too. I don't want to say that then people begin to put their family on hold and I'm going to church service, but then there's a time to stay and there's a time to go. You got to hear from God. You have to know what to do and when to do it. This is why your relationship with God is so key in this whole thing. We have to know how to hear from God to get our best instruction. I did a post earlier this week for God's divine, his best, his supernatural results, or his God's results. We just have to follow simple instructions. Well, if you can't hear from God, you can't get his instructions. We have to be able to hear from God to make a wise decision in whatever it is that we're fighting with, whatever it is we're dealing with. We have to be in position to hear, and let me deal with that while we're there. You cannot be full of fear and then be full of faith. In other words, if you are terrified of the enemy and you all shook right now, you can't hear nothing, man. You might as well sit down and drink some latte. You can't hear nothing. We got to be in a place to where our soul is at rest. Our mind, will, and emotions. We cannot. It's hard to hear from God when your soul is having an upheaval and we're not settled. We're just off. We just got everything going on. See, with human reasoning. And also, this is destroy false arguments. The enemy is going to try and come with lies. He's going to try and make things look worse than what it is. Make you think, oh, so-and-so needs you to come to go to his house. And if you don't go by there, this is going to die. He deal with the enemy makes things so extreme. And when you go, they'd be like, man, I could have gone to service. I could have done this and that. Yeah, that was the whole plot of the enemy. If he can get you away from those times of encouragement to build you up, to even times of revelation where you're going to hear the word of God, that's what he does to try and block you from getting to your blessed place. That's what he tried to do to have you limited and when you serve an unlimited God. So in other words, when it comes down to warfare, the enemy will try to find all kinds of different tactics to try and get in your head to get you off track or to block you from getting to where God would have you to be. So, amen. So, when we understand knocking down human reasoning, we have to be able to look beyond how we feel. Look beyond what it looks like. Look beyond what everyone else says. your mind, will, and emotions, we have to be able to get past that realm in order for us to see God. Because if your soul is not settled, it's hard for you to make a spiritual decision when your soul is just all across the place. You got to settle yourself in God. Okay? You got to settle yourself. Okay, verse 6. And get this. And having in a readiness. See, when you talk about being in a readiness, that means your position, you're ready. You're prepared for the next move. To revenge all disobedience. See, when now that you've settled yourself and now you've seen the tactic the enemy's used, now you can be in a place of readiness.
Be back in a minute. Pastor Dupree, did you hit one?
Okay, glory to God. Once again, boy, I'll tell you what. Boy, somebody don't like this word tonight, but praise God. Okay, glory to God. Amen. What I was saying as far as being in readiness, amen, you have to be ready because right now, because being in readiness, you have to be positioned. When you talk about being in position, once again, like I was saying, if you are in your soul and you're trying to fight a spiritual battle in your soul, you're out of alignment. But now you have to line up spirit to spirit. Being a spirit, you have to line yourself up to be in a position with God and to fight the spirit, your spiritual battle by the spirit. So this is where, so, yes, amen. Who's, amen. Is someone going to speak? Amen. Is someone chimed in?
Got two.
Okay, all right. Well, first one, who's first?
860.
860, amen. 585. 860 or 585, which one? Amen.
I guess they don't want to say nothing.
Okay. All right. Okay, all right. Well, if y'all decide you want to speak, you can. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Go ahead, I'll check them out.
Okay. All right. Okay, so back to the word. Amen. So we're talking about being ready. So we're talking about lying, being spirit to spirit, spirit to spirit. Okay, so when we look at, let's go real quickly back to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to see that one. Verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the spirit, do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. The verse I'm looking for, let's go back up a little bit. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. Now we go. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. For they that after things that after the spirit, the things of the spirit. See, you can't see a spiritual thing by the flesh. You know, by the ways of the flesh, we have to be sensitive or seen by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit, in order for us to see or deal properly with those things that are by the Spirit. So, you know, when it goes on, he says, for the verse 6 says, to be carnal-minded is death, is separation, but to be spiritually-minded is life and peace. Amen. We can't be in true peace until we get in the Spirit of God and allow His Spirit to have His way. So because, verse 7 said, because of the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not is none of his. So we need to have His Spirit inside of us in full operation. We need to be sensitive to His voice, His Spirit, and the way He flows. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. All right. Okay, so I'm going back, amen, back to the finish off 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. So having in readiness to revenge all disobedience. Now get this. Now we it push we when we are back and we're in a place of obedience in that place the handle when we're in alignment in that place of obedience. Now that puts us in a position to revenge disobedience. In other words, we can effectively operate. Now it is now we can effectively dismantle or operate against the evil forces or whatever it is that's trying to work against us. We are now in a position to handle or to punish or come against that thing. See, if we're not in position with God, we're out of position with man. We're not in position where we're not in position with God. It takes us out of position to where we can't really effectively line up and deal with some things. I remember one time we was casting out a demon out of a person, and the person started, you know, the demonic force was speaking through them and everything, and the things started beginning to call up people who was on their side in the church. He called the head deacon and the organist, and then the daughter come up and start saying some stuff, and she's supposed to be in Christ too, and he called her out as her name and told her that she needed to sit down because basically she'd been running around doing some stuff she ain't no business doing. So he began to call her a clock, and he was just really embarrassed her. And so then at that point, the pastor went, hey, we cast the spirit out. But the bottom line is this: we cannot be in disobedience with God we cannot be disobedient with God and expect to work to operate through obedience against the enemy. We cannot do that. We have to make sure that we're in alignment with God and walk, you know, and we upright before Him, standing right. So if you're not living right, you got areas where the enemy's just got some strongholds on you, you're not going to be effective like you need to be against the demonic forces because you are in agreement with them because of those strongholds that's in your life. Not saying that you plan on saying you're part of the enemy. Well, because of the situation, because of where you are, those things put you in agreement, or it takes away the power or the authority where you could have, because you have that area the enemy is using those areas against you to weaken your influence or to weaken your authority or power that you could have had. So until you fix that problem or those problems or that issue, you come into alignment with God, until you really come into that place with God to where now God can effectively operate through you because of over those situations, you're limited. The enemy has you where he wants you. You're wounded. In other words, you're wounded and you can't effectively operate because of the stronghold that's on your life. If you are bound up, if you bound up smoking crack, how are you going to try to take the weed out of them? How are you going to try and deliver me from weed? I mean, you have a substance problem. You still, the spirit still has you. Okay, let me say it like this. You have a lustful demon. You've got a lot of lust running through you, but you see someone who's a pedophile. You trying to cast out the spirit of a pedophile, and you got a bunch of lust in you. You got the same problem, bro. You got perversion. It's still the spirit of perversion, just in a different operation, but same spirit. See, we have to see for what it is and operate from that place that God has given to us, of authority, but we have to be in alignment. So if we have a serious problem in certain areas, there's no need for you to even touch that, because you're gonna get yourself in more trouble, because now this thing has an avenue or door open with you. It can actually add to your problem, you know. So amen. All right, moving on. Almost finished. He goes on to say, when your obedience is fulfilled. So until you come into obedience, you can't touch the zero. You can't touch the disobedience until your obedience is fulfilled. Until you are in obedience, you will not be as effective as you should be against that disobedience until you are in obedience. So amen. So when we are in obedience, doing what we need to do as far as in place with God where we need to be, then our strength, you know, are strong. We can really handle the enemy and put him where we need to put him, because we're subjected to the presence of God and we're in the right standing with God. But if we're not in the right standing with God, we're not going to be as strong where we need to be. And so we try to tackle a situation, we end up getting whooped. Why? Because we're out of alignment. Plain and simple, we're out of alignment. We can't do it like that. Okay, so for the last one, and we're going to close it off with here. One more. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to finish it off there for tonight. Amen. Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 14. All right, this is verse 14. And when he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he cast out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils, And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. Okay, let me go back a little bit and read those three verses there in LT verses. It says, one day cast out a demon from a man who couldn't speak. And when the demon was gone, the man began to speak, and the crowds were amazed. But some of them said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. Others, trying to test Jesus, demanded that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. Amen. So be careful. Don't try to prove nothing to nobody. See, remember this. You don't have to try and prove yourself in nothing. You don't have to try and prove you got this or that authority. Be careful, because, see, let's deal with that for a second. Demonic forces, when it comes down to people who have demons, demonic forces, it's not fitting or it's not good. Okay, for some reason you got an idea. You think that person got something like that. It's not going to be as effective when you're trying to provoke a demon to try to come up. But, should I say like that? Or you're trying to dig and pull and trying to say, you're trying to save the guy a demon, whatever it gets to be. But when a demonic force manifests itself, now the time is right to cast them out. See, we have to wait for the timing. That's why even with casting demons, it's a timing thing too. Just because some of you think someone may have something, that don't mean that the time is right. You gotta wait. When that thing begin to, when it begin to manifest itself, now it's at its peak. Now it's ready to cast out. It's almost like once you get him to show his head, now you can grab him by the head and pull him out. Just give you a little physical example. See, until he shows his head, it's hard to get him. It's hard to do it. And, I mean, that's true. Because when you think about it, you got an idea of something behind there, but you can't create it, you can't really prove it because it didn't manifest itself. You can't do nothing with it. But once he puts his head out there, and you move fast enough by the Spirit, now you got him. You snatch him out there. But until that time comes, you can't really do as much as you want to do. You got to wait. See, even with deliverance, in deliverance ministry, there's patience there. You have to operate in patience. You cannot let frustration, thank you, Holy Spirit. You cannot let yourself get frustrated with demonic forces and you expect to have authority the way it needs to be. You have to operate in patience. Don't let it get to your head. See, once again, the enemy will always try and get into your head. Don't let the enemy get into your head. I remember one time I was with another pastor who was, you know, trying to deal with someone who had some forces, but at the same time, that person wasn't quite ready yet. The timer wasn't right yet. And so what happened, they put a bunch of oil on them and trying to get them all up, you know, upset or whatever, but what they were trying to hope to do, it never happened. That person just got oiled up real bad that day and was embarrassed. There's no deliverance taken care of because the time wasn't right yet. Even though they were getting frustrated because what they wanted to happen with the boy, it wasn't happening. Because sometimes people try to, because they think something, they try to make something happen. You got to be careful with that. We got to wait for the time of God, wait for the manifestation, and then you can deal with certain things in that time. There's certain things that, you know, it might can be provoked with worship. That's why our praise and worship in the house of God makes a difference. When we invoke His presence and God's glory come in and do what He want to do, now sometimes in those high spirited times like that, those the forces begin to act up because now the presence of God is messing with them really bad. And they begin to act up in the person. You see, look, it was so bad one time. I remember a woman was on the floor. She was on the floor starting to slither like a snake, spitting. I mean, it was crazy. I'm like, what in the world? She was spitting. She was on the floor laid out. Somebody got through praying for her. And all of a sudden, she started spitting, like just spitting. And then the musician, his leg was right there next to him. And he's like, this woman spitting on his clothes. I'm like, what is she doing? Otherwise, she's just slipping like a snake and going crazy. No, so you see, this woman here, then she got up, she was acting back like a gypsy, and there was all kind of crazy stuff going on with this woman. Okay, you know what? That's when we began to deal with her and, you know, had to cast the spirit out of her. But, you know, you have to be able to function. You cannot let frustration, because let me tell you, they will try to get you frustrated. I remember one time it was a man who was, he had a little drunken spirit on him, and he was trying to play. So every time we started trying to pray for him, lay hands and pray for him, he started leaning back and started laughing. It's crazy. I was like, okay. So I had to stop and just kind of wait for a second, okay, all right. Had to let it get to a certain point. Then we went ahead and deal with it and was able to get the problem solved. But the bottom line is you have to be able to hear and know when to move. You got to be keen in the spirit. You got to be in a keen flow of the spirit of God, or you be just doing a lot of stuff that ain't going to be profiting nothing. Amen. All right, so finishing this up, this is the last part. Okay, but he, knowing their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself can the house fall. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? See, we cannot be, once again, you can't be in the soul and then in, you know, trying to operate in the spirit. You got to be in alignment. You got to be in agreement with yourself as well as also in agreement with others. You know, those who are working with you, you got to know where they stand. I remember one time there was a demonic woman was called, the pastor at the time who I was under. They called him, and the spirit was acting up. So before the spirit really got hold of her, the way it shut her down, she called the patrol. She was able to call the pastor, and the spirit was acting up in the house and everything. So here it is. He had another minister who was there during the time, had her on the phone. He was telling her, keep her busy while I go to the house. So while he had her on the phone, he went on his way to go to the woman's house, and he called two or three other deacons, hey, meet me over so-and-so house. So they were going, they met up over there. So during that time, they walked inside the door, and all of a sudden, there was some stuff, kind of demonic forces kind of operating. They saw some stuff kind of, it was an eerie feeling up in there, and there was some stuff, and I think they saw something move or heard something move. So there was some strong demonic forces was going on. So the house was dark. So they went inside the living room, and they walked, and they went, and they heard the things snarling inside the kitchen and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, they went in, and they opened the door. It was him and two or three other deacons who was inside, who went inside there. And that thing, they opened the door and it says, ah! Look here, the pastor was standing by himself. Them deacons screamed out the house, gone, hard tail, left the pastor standing by himself. And
so he was, you know, he was, once again, he, so what he did was he just went on to work because he knew at that point they ain't been no turnaround. He was not about to let no demons run him off. So anyway, he began to go ahead and deal with her, and he began to deal with, you know, cast the spirit out of everything, so the woman got delivered. And at the end of it, he said, man, what happened to y'all, man? Pastor, man, we was done with you, man, and all of a sudden, man, we heard her growl and snarl, and she did that behind the door. I mean, we've been gone, man. But which was probably the best, because it's hard to pull, you know, cast a demon out when you got people who are in fear around you. So they probably actually did him a favor. If they weren't full of faith, they need to go anyway. So that's why, too, you have to know who you're rolling with in the spirit. All right, so in verse 18 says, if Satan is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because he said that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. But if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is upon you. The kingdom of God is God's way of operation. Methods and operations is the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven is the residential, or is the resident place of heaven. But when you talk about the kingdom of God, that's the God's authority. His kingdom operation is at hand. He says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Amen. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divided his spoils. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathered not with me scattered. So this is a very important part of the message, is we have to make sure we in agreement with God, not only by what we say, by what we do. Because if we're not gathering, we're scattering. We're causing division, and we would not be effective as a house the way we need to be. We need to make sure that we're in place with God. Verse 24, when the unclean spirit is going out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. So he can't find no place he want to be or can be because they're not open. They will come back and see what happened. And when he cometh and findeth it swept and garnished, but not occupied. See, this is the difference. You can cast spirit out, but you also need to get that person filled with God's presence. See, a person who never was saved, they can be possessed by a devil. They can be possessed by demons. They can be possessed because there is no God residing in them. But when a person is a believer, they can be oppressed, demonically oppressed, but not possessed, because at the core of them is the Spirit of God. That means in their soulless realm, their mind, will, and emotion, demonic activity can be happening. Some people's emotions can be off, and because of demonic forces, you know, they have not strengthened themselves to where the presence of God is consumes them, you know. So they have areas of hope that's open. Matter of fact, some people could have been molested, raped, spiritually. I mean, in their emotions, have areas where they still need deliverance. And so, see, here they might accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but they're not fully delivered yet because they have not really opened up those parts, those chambers of the heart where they've been broken or damaged, and allow him to come in. Okay, and then he goes on to say, last part, then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and that last state of the man is worse than the first. So where it was two or three, now it may be seven, eight, ten, 12, or more this time around. So we have to be in position to go to war. We need to be in position to deal with those demonic forces. We cannot be wounded. This is why church hurt, y'all. We had to get past the church hurt and really let God heal us. Man, it's still some more we had to get into. But when we talk next week, we're talking about different types of prayers and stuff that we need to make sure. Hey, make sure that your armor does not have holes in it. See, because we have to make sure that we're in the place to do bring forth deliverance. If we are not in a good place to bring forth deliverance, we're going to get messed up even more or make a mess. See, that's fair to say. If we're not in a position to bring forth deliverance, how are we going to help someone else? So we have to make sure that we are being honest with ourselves and not lying to ourselves, y'all. If we're not in a position to deal with that, we can't bring deliverance. We have to make sure that we are in deliverance ready mode and make sure that we can handle what we're about to go into. If you're not emotionally sound to where you can, if you can't, you just leave it alone. Just make sure. But amen, the enemy would like to try and get in your head. Remember that. Don't let them get in your head and get you frustrated and get you upset to where, you know, you ever try to fight a wild man, a wild person? They just throwing punches. All you got to do is sit back, wait for the time right, beep, knock them out. Because they're fighting with no direction, just throwing punches in, no strategy, no nothing. No kind of skill, just throwing punches because they know they can punch. And so all you got to do is wait for the right time and catch them at the right time when they don't see, because most time they commit themselves so much, they ain't just trying to swing. They have no direction. They balance all off and everything, and sometimes you use their own weight against them. So bottom line is, without strategy, without kingdom strategy, or really hearing from God what it is that we have to do, we cannot be effective in spiritual warfare that we need to be. If we can't hear from God and we cannot follow God, if we're full of fear, full of doubt, these things hinder us when it comes to spiritual warfare to where we have not given the advantage to the devil who is defeated. We cannot put ourselves in a position to fail when God has ultimately given us the victory over these forces. So glory to God. We start there. If there's anyone who... once again, who wants to speak, question, prayer, the number 347-945-5416, or just press 1 and put you in the queue box. Amen. So glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We give you praise, give you honor and glory. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for what you shared, what you've done, even how you demonstrate your love in Jesus' name. Thank you for helping us to go forth, launch out into the deep in Jesus' name. Thank you for even helping us to stand strong, be firm. Lord God, be full of you as we stand with authority, Lord God, and go forth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for even for those who've been dreaming about demonic forces, had dreams. Matter of fact, there's someone alive right now. Lord, we bind up that succubus and incubus spirit, Lord God, that's been trying to torment them in their sleep in Jesus' name. Lord God, the demonic forces have been trying to overtake them and molest them in the spirit in Jesus. We bind up right now in Jesus' name every perverse spirit in Jesus' name, every connection, every illegal connection that they have, every illegal covenant that's been made with them in their bodies. We bind up, we come against it, we sever the ties now in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord God. We bind up the spirit of pornography, Lord God. We bind up the whoredom spirit, Lord God, in Jesus' name. We thank you. We cast down everything that's not like you in Jesus' name. We loose, Lord God, your presence. We loose your spirit. We loose your love. Lord, consume them in your presence, oh God. Fill them up with divine direction, Lord God, and it comes from you, the holiness and truth in Jesus' name. We thank you for setting the captives free. Thank you for breaking every shackle and every chain, every fetter in Jesus' name. With those things that have them bound, we commanding them to be loosed in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus against it. We call their mind free, spirit, soul, and body in the name of Jesus, oh God. We thank you right now for the breathings of Christ to come forth. And Lord God, let it manifest itself in our lives in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord God, for breaking and destroying every yoke of bondage in Jesus' name. Thank you for the manifestation to change. Rise up, Lord God, inside of us, oh God, and have your way in the mighty name of Jesus. So Father, we bless you and we thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, amen. If there's anyone who needs to be saved, we will give you an opportunity. Repeat this after me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I need to be saved. I want to be saved. Help me to be cleansed of all righteousness, all unrighteousness, Lord God. And thank you for helping me to get a new start. Help me to be filled with your presence, Lord God. We invite your spirit in. Fill my cup, Lord God, till my cup runneth over. In the name of Jesus, I surrender all to you now. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In your son Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If anyone who needs to rededicate your life to the Lord, amen, we'll give you an opportunity as well to, Lord, forgive me for I'm going astray. Thank you, Lord God, for giving me direction. In Jesus' name, order my steps in your word that I may follow you and do what you told me to do and what you've commanded me to do. I surrender. I open my heart now in the name of Jesus for change. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for helping me to, Lord, forgive me for going astray. Thank you for bringing me back into divine alignment. I receive now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we thank God for each and every one. Thank you for your patience tonight. Amen. I know we had a little share of operations there for interruptions, but we thank God for his glory to be since felt and released. We pray that you were blessed by this teaching this week. Amen. Join us again next week, Sunday night. Amen. As we go back to part three. Amen. And to live this, if it is good with God, if we go for part three. And we definitely will see where God is going to take us to. Amen. We're looking forward to some greater things happening and manifesting. Amen. Remember, make sure to protect that armor. Make sure that you heal under that armor. Don't allow the enemy to get some cheap shots because we're not healed. We're broken. Amen. You cannot properly defend yourself or come against demonic forces broken. You got to be healed. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Well, God bless you all. Have an awesome night, and thank God for your support. Amen. Bless you.
in this room. And there may be people listening at home. I want to talk to you for a second. And just let you know, that situation is too big for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't handle that. You know what you need to do? You need to turn it over to the Lord right now. Wait a minute. If you're at home, you need to find you a secret place. Turn it into an altar. Get down.